Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 172. My name is John. There's a little black spot on the sun today. It's the same old thing as yesterday. So, obviously, there's a big news story that I do feel like I need to comment on, and I will momentarily. But before I begin all of that, I also want to take a moment to say farewell to some celebrities who have passed in the last few days. Unfortunately, this podcast will pretty much have a running theme of death and despair. It's just one more reason why I don't do as much political stuff as I used to. There were four celebrity deaths that caught my attention in the past week or so. First up, Shannon Doherty. Now, I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know too much about her. Of course, she was very popular in the 90s, but I never watched a show that she starred in. But I am sorry to hear that she lost her battle with breast cancer, and at such a young age. If you've ever lost somebody to cancer, any type of cancer, you know how it can be. Shelley Duvall. Jack Nicholson's "Here's Johnny" line from The Shining is iconic, but it has so much more of a punch with Duvall's look of abject terror in that scene. And how perfect is her casting as Olive Oil in the Popeye movie with Robin Williams? She also had a supporting role in one of my all-time favorite movies, Roxanne, with Steve Martin. The biggest surprise for me was that she passed away in Blanco, Texas. I was there just days before, and I had no idea she was a resident there. Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Dr. Ruth was once a sniper in the Israeli army. Let that sink in for a moment. Just try to picture that little old lady as a 20-year-old soldier with a rifle. I never knew that until a few hours after she passed away. But in her later years, her ability to talk frankly and maturely about sex was something that this uptight nation really needed. And I believe it still does, even in places that you would least expect. She was the perfect person to deliver that message. And then there's Richard Simmons. This one hurt my heart when I heard. I greatly admired Richard Simmons. I admired his positivity in the face of all the snide remarks and jokes directed at him, and often I felt that he was masking some emotional pain that he endured from the naysayers. He wanted to motivate people to live healthier lives without berating them for being unhealthy. And that's a sign of someone who's genuinely invested in making your life better. He brought a smile to my face every time he was on the screen. He seemed fun and sweet, and this world needs more people like him. So to them and to everyone who has passed and families and friends who are mourning them, a toast to y'all. Now, those are the celebrity deaths in recent days, at least the ones that I can think of. But unfortunately, there are two more deaths that I want to touch on. These are people the rest of the world never knew about until July 13th, 2024. I'm going to talk about the deaths and then the event that connects them. Thomas Matthew Crooks. I used to be a big supporter of the death penalty. I've become less and less inclined to leave such a decision in the hands of government. There are too many people unjustly imprisoned to make me comfortable with killing the convicted. I make an exception for heinous crimes with irrefutable evidence. I mean, if you're recognized on video performing something heinous, like a murder, then I can understand getting the death penalty. But it has to be irrefutable. And in these burgeoning days of AI, it will be less and less likely to believe even the video evidence. In this case, where you're firing multiple rounds into a crowded area and a sniper takes you out, I can't say I'm disappointed. I do feel sorry that this man, kid, 20 years old, he had so much hatred and indifference toward human life that he took these steps. And I fear there are more and more of these types of people being created by the rhetoric on both sides of the political aisle. And yes, right-wingers, that's y'all too. Just because your guy is currently in the headlines because of left-wing hatred, that doesn't excuse your hatred. And vice versa. I hope people on the fringes of sanity, like this kid, find themselves in a sobering moment right now and just turn away from their myopic hatred. And of course, the man, unfortunately, at the other end of Crook's horrible actions, Corey Comparatore. And I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. He's just a Trump supporter who was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But at least for his wife and daughter, he was in the right place at the right time to shield them from the bullet that then took his life. You always want to believe that you will be the hero in such a situation. But you'll never know it unless it happens. It happened to him, and he passed the test. We can revere the sacrifice and only hope we prove our mettle as well if we ever face such an ordeal. Mr. Comparatore, you didn't deserve this. But you will always be an exemplar of the hero husband and father. It was Saturday afternoon. I was just out of the shower with the local news radio station on, WOAI. They were playing some 30-minute infomercial prevalent on their Saturday afternoon slate, when suddenly the financial advisor stopped without warning, and instantly, a woman in mid-sentence was talking about a panicked crowd at a rally. What crowd? What rally? No one came on to give any context, so I kept listening, and I gleaned it was a Trump rally, and that he had been shot. They didn't say it grazed his ear, just that there was blood on the side of his head. I called to my wife to turn on the TV and see what she could find out. It didn't take long to get a clear idea of what took place, much less time than chaotic stories like that usually take to get the facts. I'll be honest, and stick with me here, because I don't want you to jump to conclusions. The first time I watched the video, I considered that it might have been staged. I assumed the bullet was coming from in front of Trump, wondering why the audience behind him did not react differently. And that defiant fist pump just seemed way too spot on. It wasn't until I watched again and saw Trump turn stage right and realized that was the direction the bullet originated. Gina and I both hoped the people in the crowd were okay, and of course we would find out soon that that was not the case. The last I heard, there were two other spectators wounded in critical condition, and I hope they pull through. Within a couple of hours, there was the video from the BBC interviewing a person who saw the would-be assassin and tried to alert the authorities. Then the video of the Secret Service agent seemingly unsure of what to do while they were getting Trump into the getaway vehicle. It painted a picture of ineptitude by the Secret Service, and in this day since, it hasn't gotten any better. Other than his odd insistence of getting his shoes, Trump came out looking defiant against years of venomous rhetoric of so many politicians and celebrities that's been under the spotlight since the assassination attempt. I mean, if you are in the camp that Trump incited the January 6th mob at the Capitol building, what do you say about a political opponent who tells his supporters to put Trump, quote, in a bullseye, end quote? If you give your guy a pass, shouldn't you then reevaluate Trump using your same criteria? And isn't it about time both sides of the aisle took a long, hard look at their two-faced, holier-than-thou duplicity? People use idioms and hyperbole all the time. That is in no way intended to incite people to do bad things. But if you carelessly throw out accusations that you retroactively intended harm and stand in front of a news camera at every opportunity parroting the baseless accusations with equal parts pomposity and hypocrisy, and surprise, you've created the environment where your own standards get thrown back into your face. And right-wingers need to be cognizant of what they say as well. If you're going to go off on your opponents about their rhetoric, you're going to be judged the same way. So maybe give it a little bit of thought before shooting your mouth off. Now, let me get into the conspiracy theory portion of this podcast. These are things that I have thought of as I try to see possible outcomes from the fallout. And please keep in mind that I have a somewhat vivid imagination that thinks about extreme worst-case scenarios. That being said, I also need to confess that I have been very concerned about President Joe Biden's health for some time now. I've watched as dementia slowly took my mother over the final few years of her life. And I can't help but see those same signs in the president whenever he speaks. I don't wish this on anyone, because I've seen how it slowly destroyed someone I love. And based on family history, I fear that is my fate, just a couple of decades away. Like my mother, Joe Biden, according to reports, is defiant about his capabilities, and he is refusing to step down. Here's my first concern that I had even before the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. I'm afraid that since Biden will not step down, someone will make it happen. And I don't mean like talk him into vacating the office. I'm afraid that we will get reports of Biden having an unexpected incident and that he has passed away. I'm afraid that the reports will be a cover story and that the reality is someone behind the scenes did something to kill Joe Biden. I don't know how. Maybe slip some drug into him. Maybe. Maybe it's going to be a complication from COVID with some new strain that's going around. But I don't think the people who are really in control want to risk losing it. And since Biden is not long for this world anyway, I believe people in his own party would not hesitate to take him out. And there's a worse thought. Now that Trump has had an assassination attempt against him, it would be easy to have a very public and successful attempt on Biden's life and blame it on right-wingers unhinged by the failed assassination. What is it that they said? Never let a tragedy go to waste. Make it look like a revenge plot. And try to turn the tide in their favor. But here's the worst thought. What if that's why there was an assassination attempt on Trump in the first place? Get some misguided schmuck lost in the propaganda of today's political landscape, hype up the glory to him of saving the country from bad orange man, and literally give him a shot to put his name up with Booth and Oswald before taking him out. Because, hey, you gotta look like you're trying to protect the candidate. He gets a couple of shots off, doesn't make it, oh well, take him out. Best case scenario for them, Trump was taken out. Worst case scenario, they have a cover to remove the increasingly more senile obstruction to their plans. Told you, I go down some weird paths. This is a key moment. To paraphrase a great song, it's time we stop and look what's going down. How do you react, especially in the public eye? And why is that important? Well, I did talk earlier about the spotlight put on stray comments made on both sides of the aisle. Are you going to proclaim that you hope the next bullet doesn't miss and perpetuate the hatred that's been fomenting for years? Or are you going to realize that these are human lives we're talking about and stop cracking wise without thinking? Yeah, none of this is good for the country. And I really, really don't want to be right about any of my disturbing conspiracy theories. I just want people to take a breath and think about what they do and say before this goes any further downhill. I've heard a lot of loathsome things said in the aftermath. But also, a lot of people wanting to get things back on the proper path. And a tip of the cap to Tim Robbins, the actor, who I have rarely agreed with politically in the past, but I am 100% behind this post from Twitter, or X, whichever you want to call it. Quote, "To anyone drawing a parallel between my film Bob Roberts and the attempted assassination of Trump, let's be clear. What happened yesterday was a real attempt on a presidential candidate's life. Those that are denying the assassination attempt was real are truly in a deranged mindset. A human being was shot yesterday, another killed. They may not be human beings that you agree with politically, but for shame, folks. Get over your blind hatred of these people. They are fellow Americans. This collective hatred is killing our souls and consuming whatever is left of our humanity. End quote. Probably couldn't put it any better myself. So, this is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.